This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental.
Jake Bowers is the batter now. A high drive right center field. This is deep and it is gone. Jake Bowers connects for his 12th home run of the season, and the Brewers on the board. It's 1-0.
Now to break it all down, here is your host, Dom Catronio.
All right, that Jake Bowers homer was really the only thing offensively to talk about tonight. Brewers fall 2-1 to the Pirates. Freddy Peralta, 200th strikeout, cool, but how he got there was a little frustrating. Still not going to, you know, take down the accomplishment. We'll talk in depth about what tonight's start meant for Freddy, as he's likely going to be your game one starter in the wild card series. And we can all but certainly say wild card series now. I know there are a few folks that were trying to convince you that, oh, they're still in the hunt. They're mathematically alive for that. You would need to run the table, one, and both the Dodgers and Padres would have to lose out, and the Phillies would have to lose out. That ain't happening. It's just not happening. So the Brewers are probably headed to the wild card round. Not probably. They're headed to the wild card round. And the chaos that happened earlier today with the Braves and the Mets in Atlanta, Hurricane, is it Helene, I believe? It's not Helen, it's Helene, on its way through Atlanta right now. And instead of trying to play earlier today or try to find a neutral side or trying to find anywhere else to play, Major League Baseball announced today that these next two games, tonight and tomorrow, for the Braves and Mets in Atlanta, have been postponed to Monday. So we'll get to the game in a moment, but I want to talk about this first because this obviously directly impacts the Brewers, and let me just lay out the scenarios here of what's at stake. By the way, we'll do some scoreboard watching tonight, keeping an eye on the Arizona Diamondbacks as they'll just getting going right now against the Giants. Their game will not be over by the time we're off the air, but as things stand right now in the National League, with both the Braves and Mets not playing tonight or tomorrow, the Diamondbacks are off tomorrow, so it won't get too out of whack here. And then the Braves are supposed to be back home on Friday to open up a weekend series with the Royals. I don't even know if the Mets got out of Atlanta, given how bad the weather has been, and there's a hurricane on the way. Maybe somebody can text that in, 855-616-1620. But here's how things stand right now for the 2, 3, and 4th spot. Remember, the 4th spot is out of the wild card picture. The Mets, 87-70. They're in the 2 spot, a half game clear of Arizona, who's 87-71. Then it's the Braves, who's a half game back of Arizona, and only one game back of the Mets, 86-71. Let's say, for content's sake, the Diamondbacks lose today. So that puts them virtually tied with the Braves. They would be 87-72. The Braves would be still 86-71 heading into Friday because, again, the Diamondbacks are off tomorrow. There is a scenario where all three teams, the Mets, the Diamondbacks, and the Braves, end up with 90 wins. There is a scenario with 89, 90, whatever number it is, where they all end up tied. That chaos scenario goes to whoever wins the series between the Mets and the Braves. Mind you, the Braves won Game 1 last night, and then the doubleheader on Monday, if it matters. I mean, there's a chance where they only play one game and then don't play the second game of the doubleheader just because the result will be decided. Like, let's say the Braves win Game 1 of that doubleheader, and then they win the series, they win the season series by doing so, and maybe the Diamondbacks have already fallen out at that point. Because that means your opponent would be the New York Mets. If the Mets win the series, though, your opponent will be the Atlanta Braves. And this is only in the scenario where they're all tied in record in the win column at the end of the year. Arizona does not hold any tiebreakers. That's the number one thing to remember in all of this. But if Arizona continues to win and gets back on track, they've lost 3 in a row going back to Sunday, then things will be monitoring on what happens on Monday. So to reiterate, the Mets and Braves rained out tonight and tomorrow. They're scheduled for a doubleheader on Monday. The Mets, we know, they're coming here Friday through Sunday. Then the Braves are supposed to be at home on Friday for the Kansas City Royals, who are in a dogfight to stay alive in the American League wildcard race. And the Diamondbacks, as they finish up with the Giants tonight, off day tomorrow, they will host the red hot San Diego Padres. So that's your little wild card picture as to who could the Brewers' opponent be. It's going to be chaotic, so bear with us because this is pretty unprecedented to say the least. Now we'll shift gears and start talking about tonight's game. Freddie, 200 strikeouts. Congratulations. He's only the fourth Brewers pitcher ever to have multiple 200-plus strikeout seasons, joining Teddy Higuera, Yovani Gallardo, and Corbin Burns. Pretty good company there for Freddie Peralta. We'll talk about the start a little bit more in depth with Craig Kishon in a moment. I've seen a couple tweets and a couple texts about Willy Adames. Why was he trying to stretch that into a double? The Brewers didn't do much offensively tonight. Jake Bowers hit the home run you heard in the open. Aside from that, they did nothing. It was a bad read, obviously, for him to run on a guy with a great arm like Brian Reynolds. But when you're going up against Aroldis Chapman, sometimes you're a little too desperate. And I know they had Gary on deck, and it was no guarantee that Gary was going to do it again like he did in Pittsburgh back, in May? But, yeah, it was a mistake by Willie, but it wasn't the reason the Brewers lost the game. A two-run double by Leover Peguero, who's up in the big leagues for the first time this year. He was up last year. Frustrating because it spoils what was a really good start from Freddie. And he's going to be your game one starter. And I'll explain why in the next segment, why I'm not really discouraged. I mean, there's two things I obviously want to fix from tonight's start from Freddie, but I'm really not that discouraged from Freddie Peralta. I'll explain why in the next segment as the Brewers fall 2-1 to the Pirates. Just a quiet night. Not much to talk about from this one, but we'll keep going. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings. Sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon will be with us in just a little bit. A couple of texts here, 855-616-1620. Losing to last place. Why would Willie try for second? Didn't trust his teammates on that one. Disappointing. Again, like I said at the end of the last segment, it's not the reason the Brewers lost the game. Sometimes you're doing a little too much. We saw him doing a little too much on Sunday when he was trying to score from third. On the ball that was hit right at the third baseman. Mistakes happen when you're pressing. Willie was pressing, but I'm not that mad at the way that game ended because it was Aroldis Chapman. But nonetheless, still frustrating to see the game end on an out on the bases. This one from Doug. Pirates are the only team in the division that can win the season series against the Brewers, yet they are last. But to me, they're better than the others, and Freddie is ready. We'll talk about Freddie in a moment. The Pirates have pieces, right? Like, it's just like, you sit here, I feel the same way about the Pirates as I feel about, like, the Cubs. I'm like, I'm looking at your roster, guys, and you should be better. And Skeens has been incredible, and I think I've come around, like, and he's going to pitch in Yankee Stadium this weekend. I think Skeens might get MVP or Rookie of the Year over Merrill at this rate, but we'll see how he does over the weekend. And then you've got Jones back, and then you've got the you've got pieces on the position player front. And then you've got, you know, Hayes isn't healthy right now. Reynolds, I think, is a stud. Now they're moving O'Neill Cruz to the outfield. Just doesn't make sense. But, hey, you know, one stat about this, Doug, is the fact that I was working an Orioles game last night, and the Orioles have won the season series on every team in the AL East, and yet they're going to be four games back. They won tonight, but they're not going to win the division most likely. So it's just weird things like that happen all the time. Let's talk about Freddie here. The Brewers got, I really think the Brewers got what they wanted out of Freddie today. The 200 strikeouts was a cherry on top. If I would have told you, taking the 200 strikeout take aside, if I would have told you next Tuesday, all right, game one of a wild card series, regardless of the opponent, take it or leave it, Freddie Peralta goes in 5 1/3, so works into the sixth inning, gives up two runs, a couple of walks, 7 strikeouts. Take it or leave it. No other context. Next Tuesday, game one of a wild card series. 5 1/3. What was it? 2 hits, 3 hits. Two runs, two walks, seven strikeouts. No context. Take it or leave it right now. If you said to yourself, take it, that's what I mean by the Brewers got what they wanted out of Freddy Peralta tonight. Because that's all they're going to ask of him next week when he inevitably starts game one of the wild card round. Because you'll have a loaded bullpen. What Aaron Ashby did right, I mean, what the whole Brewers bullpen did right behind him was super impressive. Just one infield hit from Isaiah Kiner-Falefa off DL Hall. That was it. They went essentially the last five, seven of the last eight batters are retired. And then the Brewers bullpen with Ashby, with Hall, with Ross. I mean, I'm not even mentioning the main high leverage guys, right? I'm not even mentioning McGill or Pyomps or Koenig or Hudson or Williams. So I think this, again, he wasn't even supposed to go into the sixth inning. The Brewers wanted to give him a highlight and try to get him that 200 strikeout. And we'll talk about what went wrong in that fifth inning with Craig Kishon here in just a moment. But I really think I don't have many nits to pick from this start, because for 4 2/3 of this game, it was like, that's the guy. That's the Freddy Peralta that he was in the second half of 2023, in April of 2024. And then it just tried a little too hard to get that 200 strikeout. Walks Grindahl, walks York, gives up the double to Peguero, and then comes back to get the strikeout. And Craig's with us now. And Craig, I mean, we can sit here and complain about the fact that he gave up two runs. And my take from this, and we watched the game together, my take is like, look, if this happens on Tuesday in a wild card game, I think everyone's pretty happy.
Well, for sure they are, Dom. There's no question about that. I think this is, we're in kind of like a no man's land here right now. And I know I just jumped on, and I'm sure you've talked about it a little bit, but you know, this is just another one to add to the list of what do you do with 10 games left when you've already, you know, accomplished the goal of winning the division and there's nowhere to move from here, you know? So I'm pleasantly surprised that Freddie was able to get that seventh strikeout, to be honest with you, just from the standpoint of, I didn't know how much he was going to pitch tonight anyway. He did. He pitched really well. And so he probably overdid it trying to get that seventh strikeout, and maybe it cost the Brewers the game or whatever. But you know what? If you only score one run, you're not going to win too many games anyway. So you give up two, and you know, you look to the offense and say, do your part as well. So I'm mixed on all of this. I like the fact that, you know, baseball can be majestic and historic and can be, you know, old school all at the same time. But there's, you know, there's the new school version of what we're seeing here, too. And I'll bet you 10 or 15 years ago, Pat Murphy never would have expected that he'd be the manager of a Major League Baseball team in 2024 and walking out to the mound and with a smile on his face, so happy for his pitcher that he accomplished a milestone, that he shook his hand out there and it was 200 strikeouts. It wasn't a no hitter. It wasn't a victory. So times have changed a little bit. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Craig, because it was a little weird, but then you remind yourself, look, I know folks, some say they're in the hunt for that two seed and to get the bye. At this point, you're begging with five games to go, four games to go, that you're going to need a bunch of help to make it happen. To me, it's a weird twilight zone because, like, you want to get mad, right? Like, come on, man. You gave up two runs, and come on, it's a one-run game. Like, you got to stay locked in. You can't be smiling about this 200 strikeout. But then, like, you sit here, and it's like, well, what am I getting worked up about? They're not going to move off the three seed. There's literally nothing they can do between now and the end of the season that will improve their seeding. I mean, yeah, they can run the table, sure, but they're going to need a lot of help to do that. Even if they run the table, if one other leg falls, it doesn't matter. They're going to be the three seed. So it's like, man, do I really get worked up about this? Because these games are hard to play in. I'm not trying to make excuses here. I'm just trying to be real where it's like, it feels like it should be a bigger deal, but you sit here, you sit down, and you want to work yourself. I'm like, I'm just not that worked up. Congrats to Freddie for getting 200 Ks, and that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, and I also think this, Dom, you know, yes, maybe technically that you know, now the two seeds available because the Brewers lost and the Cubs lost, so the Phillies clinched the one. So there's just the two seed left anyway here at this point. And it's, you know, it's hard to leapfrog teams, and the scenario's got to be perfect. But it's also different than if the Brewers were in a division race with another team in their division here right now, and you have to play your hearts out and you know, just go for it just to get into the playoffs. They're already in. That's the tough part about this. They don't have to play their rear ends off and hope all these things happen and go in their favor just to get a two seed, just to improve on their standing. It's hard enough to get where they were by winning the division title. So they're fine. Everything is fine. Congrats, Freddie. That's great. So we're still fine-tuning this team, and we still have four games to go before the playoffs start.
My take, too, from this is if he's not hunting a 200th strikeout on Tuesday and he's facing 7, 8, 9 in the order, I wonder, and we're all human, is he a little more focused to get Grandal? And you would say, oh, he should be focused to get the 200th strikeout anyway. No, what I'm trying to say is, like, we're all human. We all get a little jittery. Oh, I gotta get it! I gotta get it right here. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna start. It's like golf. It's like you start thinking ahead. You're like, ooh, I'm gonna get it right here. And nope. So I wonder if he can just stay locked in the moment. And I talked about this on Sunday, a create your own energy series here in Pittsburgh. Not many folks in the stands. With all due respect to Pittsburgh, they don't have anything to play for. They get to play the role of spoiler. They've got nothing to worry about. Those are hard environments to play in. Freddie left the pitch over the plate. This is the big leagues. You're going to get punished for it. And Peguero punished him for it, to say the least. And the bright spot from the pitching staff, too, is he got into the sixth inning with seven strikeouts. And aside from those three batters, he kept his pitch count intact. And that's going to be very important next Tuesday.
It is. And Freddie's been dealing this same, you know, type of line where, you know, he'll pitch into the sixth inning, maybe give you six innings. Only two hits allowed. He did give up a couple of walks, not the end of the world. Didn't give up any home runs tonight. I mean, he gave up a two-strike, two-out RBI double. I mean, that was it. I mean, you're loving that if that happens on Tuesday. There's just absolutely no other way for me, and I know for you, to look at this situation here right now. Freddie is Freddie. He gets in little mental lapses sometimes, trying to accomplish things in the middle of a game. He just does. But that's Freddie. If you can live with who Freddie is, and we all have for a long period of time, just remember he's a big reason why this team won another division title and why they're headed to another playoff series.
I agree. And the side-by-side numbers between 2023 and 2024, I know folks assume, he started opening day. He has to be an ace. You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. But he's been the same pitcher. Overall body of work. I know he had the incredible second half last year to erase a rough first half. This year, he hasn't been as sharp as he could be at times, but nonetheless, I'm pretty satisfied with what we've seen from Freddie Peralta and satisfied enough to give him the ball in game one of a wild card series on Tuesday. We'll talk about the lack of offense up next. I don't want to keep you long, Craig, because this is just simply an unremarkable game. 855-616-1620. Brewers fall 2-1 to the Pirates here on 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 2-1 to the Pirates. Rubber game tomorrow. Coffee, donuts, and baseball. 11:40 Central Time, first pitch here on WTMJ. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon is here with us. So, Craig, the offense tonight, I always make sure to say, hey, Brewers fans know what good pitching looks like and how good that was and that sort of thing. I struggled to do it tonight, and I'm not trying to, like, take anything away from Luis Ortiz. I thought he pitched well. I'll stop there because I don't want to disparage him. I thought the Brewers got a lot of swings off against him. They got a lot of on-time swings off on him. They hit the ball on the barrel, but hit a million ground balls. And then you give credit to the pitcher getting the ball on the ground. But the Brewers having a man on second with one out after Churio struck out with the Terang stolen base, that Contreras ground out, and then to have Mitchell strike out on a pitch that was a little low, was frustrating. Bowers hits the homer. Cool offense. But then the Brewers, again, they got a stolen base, a William Contreras stolen base of all people, but leave a man stranded in scoring position. Then they didn't get another man at scoring position the rest of the game. So there's a little bit of maybe that lull that I was talking about, the twilight zone, where it's like, well, all right, well, this game doesn't really matter. Let's just make sure we don't get hurt, go through the motions. But the other half of you is like, come on, man, it's the Pirates, score some runs. And then you really should end up somewhere in the middle where you understand the pitcher was good, the offense wasn't great. That makes for a bad combination. Not every night can be like last night, and the Brewers only score one run on a homer.
And I also think this team is kind of caught in the middle as well offensively too, Dom, that, you know, this team usually draws, you know, their fair share of walks and can collect some base hits, you know, can get around and steal some bases. We saw that when they had scored seven runs yesterday in the game as well. But we just haven't seen a ton of that really down the stretch here. I mean, look, they had a 10-game lead. I know they clinched. It was, what, a week ago tonight. But, I mean, before that, they knew for, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks or longer that they were going to win this division. That lead was so big. So I think they're still sitting in a little no man's land here right now. And I'm just curious to think and to know where they're going to be come Tuesday with their approach at the plate. And does it go back to like that August approach? They were so dominant and they could pretty much do whatever they wanted at the plate. You know, they could work good starting pitching and knock that out of the game and get to opposing bullpens, that type of thing. I really feel like they need to be closer to that scenario come Tuesday.
Yeah, I think with the Brewers offense right now, and I made this comment watching the game tonight. Tonight's lineup was a kind of a lineup. I'm like, I might roll that out there if I'm facing a right-handed pitcher on Tuesday. I really liked tonight's lineup from a construction standpoint, with Terang leading off, Churio, Contreras, then Mitchell in the cleanup spot. I mean, he's been hot. He's left-handed. He gives you the balance. Yelly ain't playing, so you want to have a lefty somewhere in the middle of this order. And you've got Perkins available off the bench to pinch hit for him. Then Bauer's DHing means it's flexible there, right? Maybe I'd keep Bauers on my bench and start Gary, or maybe even start like a Tyler Black so I can use Jake defensively later in the game. But all in all, I thought this was pretty close to what we're going to see potentially in the playoffs of how the Brewers construct their lineup. And you're not going to win many games when you go your top four in the order, go a combined 1-for-11, was it? Yeah, with a walk and a single. So again, you may think, well, they went 1-for-11, Don. Why are you happy about this being your playoff roster? I mean, I think this is more of an anomaly than what it should be. I really like this lineup tonight.
I liked it too. I was really fine with it. I do think this is largely what we're going to see come playoff time. Now the big question is who out of this lineup is going to get out of their, you know, slumbers here right now, and all of a sudden, you know, a lot of times playoff begins and you can flip the switch a little bit, or somebody does, and it's not on purpose. It's just because it's the postseason and something happens. And honestly, I really hope that Bryce Terang is one of those guys in this lineup for sure. And, you know, Reese just getting a power stroke back. I mean, how much could this team use, you know, a couple of doubles and, you know, pull a home run to left as well from Hoskins in a series? I think that would be absolutely huge. And I think those type of things, you know, feathered in a lineup right now that's kind of struggling just to get on base, just taking some pressure off one another and going back to that, you know, if you can pass that baton, do it.
I agree with the get Reese hot. That was one of my checklist things I'm going to talk about on tomorrow's Brewers Weekly here on WTMJ. It's like, find a way to get Reese hot. And one of the ways that you can tell he's getting warmer is he's drawing walks. Now, he did not draw one tonight. We talked about it yesterday with how much he got on base with the walk and the catcher's interference and all that. But he had a single tonight, which was encouraging, 1-for-3 tonight. He's got 10 walks now this month, which may not sound like a lot, but that's already too shy of a month high this year for him. And that was one of his calling cards before the injury, right? 20 and 21 and 22 of his strike zone discipline being so elite. And if he's seeing the ball well, you imagine he's going to start swinging the strikes. He's going to get one. But it's not just on Reese, too. William has cooled off quite a bit, other than the home run he hit off Zach Gallen. Churio has quietly cooled off quite a bit since being the 2020 kid in San Francisco. So I look at those two guys at the 2-3. It's like, hey, going to be here next week, right? We know they're going to be there in that spot in the order. Just want to make sure they can get some confidence moving into October.
Right. And, you know, a lot of these guys just have not been in this situation before. And I think that's going to be the other, you know, big test. And are they going through that here right now? I mean, I don't know. Is anybody right now on this team feeling any pressure, any excitement, any other thoughts about closing out a regular season? Some of these guys, they're first in the majors and knowing what lies ahead after going through that big celebration with the win last week, clinching the division. There's a lot of new things going on here right now with a lot of inexperienced players, even some guys that may have been around the majors for a year or two or three here and there, like a Jake Bowers. All this stuff is still new to some of these guys. So how they're responding right now, I'm not sure. I mean, we're not in their head. I'm not sure how big they're or how much they're going to reveal any of that too. But, you know, really hopefully somewhere collectively they're able to clear their heads and understand that next Tuesday is a reward for, you know, months and months and months of really hard work and career work for a lot of these guys as well. That's what I'm hoping to see, curious to see who can handle that and who can't.
And be happy you're not flying to Atlanta for a doubleheader to then not know where you're going to go after that. So
exactly.
It could
unbelievable stuff,
worse.
Man.
Oh, man. I talked about that in the first segment. It's just going to be weird. I'm rooting for the chaos scenario now, and let's see what happens. And we know one thing. I mean, we're virtually certain. It's not mathematically certain yet, but it could be by the end of the night that the Brewers will be hosting a wild card series best of three coming up Tuesday, TBD on the start time. All right, Craig Kishon, that's it. It's 2-1 game. Go home. That's enough. Appreciate you as always, my friend. I believe I have you on Friday again, and that's your last show of the regular season. So we'll say our goodbyes then.
All right, sounds good, Don. Appreciate it.
Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. We're not going to go for much longer here live, but we're rolling on here on Home of the Brewer, 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 2-1 to the Pirates on Dom Catronio. I mean, I briefly touched on it earlier at the bullpen, though. I mean, Ashby continuing to do what he's doing. And now D.L. Hall, it seems like for now, he could be used in both short sprints and maybe like a full lap, if you will. Let's say, like, to use a track and field analogy, he might be doing like the 2x relay, you know, the 200 relay. And he might be able to help you out on, like, the 400 relay. I don't see him as being, like, 100 meter. I don't see him as being, like, a solo 200 meter. But he can help you out in a variety of roles that isn't just one inning, let it eat. But that may be his role nonetheless. To see him have another good inning, I thought was really encouraging. We talked about him on Sunday being a catalyst for that great comeback win against the Diamondbacks. But I just want to throw some numbers at you here about Aaron Ashby and how tremendous he's been since becoming a reliever for the Brewers, because again, these are video game numbers. He's now thrown 18 and two-thirds innings as a reliever. Opponents are hitting 174 off of him. That's 12 hits off of him. He has not allowed a homer. He's allowed 3 earned runs. That's a 1.45 ERA. He has walked only 3 and struck out 28 batters. Again, 28 strikeouts in 18 and two-thirds innings as a reliever since coming back to the team on August 25th. And mind you, 3 walks total. 2 of them came in his first 3 outings. His walk on Saturday was only his 3rd walk. He had a great stretch there in September. He's only allowed 1 walk in the whole month. Furthermore, 3 walks as a reliever. He had 5 in his last start against the Phillies on June 5th. He's a whole new pitcher, and I am excited to see what he is going to do and what kind of a role he could find himself in the postseason. Another guy that came up today in the pregame conversation with Pat Murphy. Now, mind you, I am not in Pittsburgh. I do have access to the Pat Murphy feed. And what the writers also talked about with Adam McAlvey and Kurt Hoag, a lot about Brian Hudson again today. It's like, hey, well, he's not in Pittsburgh. He's in Arizona with Jacob Mizorowski, with other guys, and Carlos Rodriguez is with the taxi squad right now up in the big league roster, and they're trying to figure out if they want to activate Nick Mears and Bryce Wilson and maybe not activate Brian Hudson here for the final weekend. And one of the questions that was asked, like, would you still put Brian Hudson on the postseason roster even if he doesn't appear in another major league game between now and Tuesday? And he said yes. He doesn't need to appear in a big league game. So even if he doesn't get added to the roster in the next four games, it doesn't mean he's off the playoff roster. Let's make that very clear. And I think it sounds like, in my read of the situation, is the Brewers are simply saying, rest up. You're going to have a role in October. Make sure you're ready to go for that. There's no sense in having you work on mechanics or work on your velo in big league games that impact other teams. Let's get you right. Let's get you rolling. And then we'll see you on October 1st against either the Mets, the Braves, the Diamondbacks, whomever it may be. And I'm encouraged by that. I'm ready to see Brian Hudson, because then this bullpen gets even deeper. And you start to think about it. You're allowed 26 players, no more than 13 pitchers. You have to decide how many starters are you going to carry. So we know Freddie's going to be one of the starters. I'd imagine Frankie Montas, because he's going to start on Friday, as is announced by Pat Murphy, is going to be another starter. And then you'll probably just figure it out for Game 3, but I imagine Colin Ray or Aaron Civale, maybe both of them are quite frankly added to the roster. Let's say you carry quote-unquote four starters, really only three true starters, and Colin Ray, who can be a hybrid. So that leaves you with nine relievers that you can use. And let's just work backwards here, okay? Devin Williams, Trevor McGill, Yoel Piops, Jared Koenig, then you've got D.L. Hall, Aaron Ashby, Joe Ross, and then that's seven right there. And so you're thinking, all right, well, is Nick Mears going to be on this team? Probably not. Is Elvis Peguero going to be on this team? Probably not. So then you think, okay, well, there could be room for Brian Hudson. That makes it eight. And then finally, I'm just kind of looking through here. Yeah, I think then you can throw in maybe one of those activated Mears or Wilson or somebody like that just to be your kind of mop if you want to use somebody in case things aren't going how you had hoped. So I think they're in really good shape with their bullpen arms. And then you can mix and match moving into the next round. Between rounds, you can mix and match your rotation, but still you can't have more than 13 pitchers on your roster. Up next, we will hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. But first, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And remember, all year round, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical offers 5% off service for seniors and veterans. Make sure you mention this offer when you're scheduling your appointment. You can use Sider, SEIDER.com, to schedule today. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. Pat Murphy up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 2-1 to the Pirates. Rubber game tomorrow. Then they're home for the Mets. Tomorrow we're on at 11:35 is the first pitch. We're on the air at 11, getting you ready to go for Brewers and Pirates. Then 7:10 on Friday, 6:15 on Saturday, and 2:10 on Sunday. Everybody plays at the same time on Sunday for the finale of the regular season. Was supposed to be the finale, but it won't be because of the hurricane coming through the Gulf Coast right now. I'm Dom Catronio. Here's what the manager, Pat Murphy, had to say after today's defeat and Freddie's 200 strikeouts, among other topics.
Yeah, man, I felt like any player that gets that close to a milestone and is throwing the ball good, I thought he let the inning before get away from him, focusing maybe too much on a result, not enough on the process of just getting him out. I think that led to the two runs, to be quite honest with you, but you don't know for sure, but it sure seemed like he was trying to get that last punch out to get 200. It's a great, great honor. I mean, it's a great milestone for any starting pitcher. Freddie's done it before, but it meant a lot to him. So it meant a lot to me because he's an important part of our deal. We wouldn't let him go too much farther. I'd be hard pressed to tell you I was going to leave him in if he didn't strike him out. But yeah, a great honor for him.
What'd you think of the way he threw the ball overall?
Very good. I thought he was really, really good. I thought he had a conviction, and he just went right at him. And a really good sign. One of his better outings. Except for that little three-batter stretch where it was two outs and he's just trying to punch guys out. And yeah, hopefully he learned a lesson. Yeah.
Murph, when you think about his regular season, he gave you all the starts. When you think about 17 different starters and all the turnover and all
that. No doubt about it, man. You talk about a pillar. You know, we call those guys our pillars, you know what I mean? But he did it on the field, too. You know what I mean? He showed every single start, and he gave us everything he got. He didn't have too many starts under the five innings. He had a ton, five plus and six. And I just appreciate him and his work and how he went about his business day in and day out. And he's still out there throwing it 95, 96 tonight. You know, here it is 30, how many starts later?
32
starts later. That's pretty cool.
What about the efficiency, Murph? Is there still something to unlock there?
He's got a chance to get way better, way better. You know, he can come up with a better out pitch. He can come up with, better command or better understanding of how his stuff works. You know, he's a work in progress still, but he knows it. You know, and hopefully, he will want to continue to be that project to keep getting better because. You know, he could be really, really, really special guy. Change up grew a bunch this year. But tonight was an indication of how he could use his heater better and stay ahead in the count. And, yeah.
I mean, Freddie has told me he's excited about what he can do with his changeup because that was a pitch previously in his development he never thought he could throw. But now he's got a little better grip, a little more confidence with that pitch. There were a few that he choked and he got away from today. He still wants to go back to the lab. And it feels like every time Freddie goes to the lab with a very focused assignment, he gets something out of it. And you just go look at his Baseball Savant page. I chuckle because when he first came up, right, 17, 18, fastball like 80%, curveball like 20%. That's it. Then, you see his little slider pop up in 19 and 20. Like, oh, that might be useful. Then a little bit more curveballs pop up in 21 with that slider. Like, ooh. And then the changeup starts popping up in 22 and 23. And now here you are. He's got four pitches. He's a pitcher. He's not just Fastball Freddy anymore, but he uses the fastball well. He did use the fastball well tonight. Got seven strikeouts to reach 200. And he is going to be your game one starter in the wild card round on Tuesday. No highlights from this one because, there was just one. We'll hear it again, but then we'll go out-of-town scoreboard. We gave you the Braves and Mets scenario. Well, the American League is getting wild. We'll explain on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers, they fall 2-1 tonight. I'm Dom Catronio. I said that twice. I'm at that point of the night where just repeating myself. But you may have heard it earlier. There was one highlight from the offense, two highlights, one from the offense, one from Freddy Peralta. Jake Bowers responsible for the only run of the game for the Brewers, his first homer in a month.
Jake Bowers is the batter now. A high drive right center field. This is deep and it is gone. Jake Bowers connects for his 12th home run of the season, and the Brewers on the board. It's 1-0.
Lane Grindle's call earlier. The other moment was Freddie Peralta's 200th strikeout, and there was a moment captured by Bally Sports Wisconsin of Pat Murphy going up to Freddie Peralta between innings, between the fifth and sixth. He was supposed to be done at that point in the game as they were shortening up some of their starters. He said, you get one batter, if you're reading lips, you get one batter, get him. You get one batter, and that's what he said over to him, and he got him. Brian Reynolds was the opponent.
3-2 pitch to Reynolds. A swing and a miss. Reynolds strikes out in the Brewers' dugout. All in applause as Freddy Peralta has recorded strikeout number 200 on the season. Back-to-back seasons with 200 strikeouts for Freddy Peralta. Big smile for him as Pat Murphy making his way out of the dugout to come take the ball from Freddy Peralta.
In fact, he let him keep the baseball. So I thought that was a cool little touch for Pat Murphy. So the Brewers fall 2-1. And again, tomorrow, the pitching matchup. It'll be the first game of the morning across baseball. Aaron Civale and Mitch Keller going at it tomorrow. The Brewers dodged Paul Skeens, and this one will decide the series and the season series as they'll finish things up in Pittsburgh. Hopefully, knock on wood, no rain there. Okay, let's look real quick at the out-of-town scoreboard, first for the National League before we get lost in the sauce in the American League. The Giants and Diamondbacks, finale of that series. Diamondbacks trying to avoid a sweep. They were down 1-0 heading into the bottom of the second inning, but now I'm catching up. A leadoff double from Christian Walker, an RBI single from Lourdes Gurriel, and then an RBI single from Gabby Moreno, who's in there after getting pulled from his adductor strain the other day. Moreno is behind the plate, too. Man, that's tip my cap to that he's still playing through the groin strain. The Diamondbacks just took a 2-1 lead, which is helping out our chaos scenario, right? If we just want pure chaos to happen and you want to make Atlanta and New York both play a doubleheader next Monday, you need Arizona to keep winning. So that's one thing to happen. I know some Brewers fans are like, I don't want to face Arizona. Well, you suddenly got them cold again. And a reminder, the Brewers should have swept the Diamondbacks in Arizona. And then they, quite frankly, should have played better against them here, and I still think they're a very good team. I think the Brewers should be a better team. But nonetheless, they're only in the second inning there. That lot can change between now and if you're listening on podcast by the time this comes out. Arizona leads 2-1 on the Giants. They are off tomorrow, or the Diamondbacks, and they'll host the Padres for a three-game series. Speaking of the Padres, just getting started against the Dodgers. That's the middle game of a three-game set with L.A. If San Diego runs the table against L.A., if they win tonight and tomorrow, they will be tied in record and in the division for the NL West, which could get them into the bye and could send LA into the wild card round, where LA would be hosting either Atlanta or New York or Arizona in all of this chaos mess. So that's something to keep in mind to monitor with the Padres and the Dodgers. So that's a quick peek at the National League front of things. In the American League, things are getting spicy in New York all of a sudden. It was 9-3 heading to the bottom of the ninth inning, but now the Yankees have scored four runs in the bottom of the ninth. Judge, fourth straight game with a homer, a three-run shot. Uh-oh. So that's a 9-7 Orioles lead. One more win for Baltimore, or one more win for New York, and they clinch the East. Baltimore needs to run the table and the Yankees to lose out for Baltimore to win the East. But nonetheless, the Yankees are likely bound for a bye if they win tomorrow, but Baltimore trying to delay that for another day. They clinched a playoff berth yesterday. Also, the Guardians, they win 5-2 over the Reds. They have clinched a bye last night as well, and they're suddenly in the hunt for the number one seed. They're 92-67. If the Yankees lose this game, they'll be 92-66, and the Guardians are off tomorrow. Then the Yankees will continue to play the Orioles and then host the Pirates for the final three, something to monitor in the American League. But then finally, the Tigers, I mean, they're the main event right now. What a story it's been for Detroit. They win again tonight. The Tigers are 84-74, currently in a tie for the second wild card spot with Kansas City. However, Kansas City holds that tiebreaker head-to-head. Kansas City also won tonight. So Kansas City would be the 2 seed. Detroit would be the 3 seed. Detroit would go to Houston, and then Baltimore would host Kansas City. Minnesota is winning and en route to winning. They blew it open. They're up 8-3 in the bottom of the eighth right now, but they need it badly. With that win, they would move to 2 games back of that last wild card spot. But the big thing to remember with KC and Minnesota is that the Twins hold the tiebreaker on both the Tigers and the Royals. So if they end up tied at the end of the year, it's going to be going to Minnesota. Minnesota ends the season with the Orioles. Kansas City ends with Atlanta. And Detroit ends with the Chicago White Sox, who, oh, by the way, they're tied 3-3 in the bottom of the ninth inning on the south side. One more loss, and the White Sox set the modern record for most losses in a season. The Angels just dropped a squeeze bunt to tie the game in the top of the eighth inning. The combined wins of those teams is 100 wins. At this point in the year with a five games ago. That's sad state of affairs on the South Side. So let me give you the upcoming schedule here for our content. No post-game show tomorrow live, but we do have Brewers Weekly tomorrow night. That will be at 8 p.m. live here on WTMJ or in your podcast feeds, Brewers All Access. Then, Friday, we have post-game once again, and pre and post, actually. I've got you for Brewers warm-up at 6, first pitch at 7, and then on Saturday, first pitch at 6:15. We've got warm-up at 5. And then on Sunday, we've got warm-up at 1 for a 2:10 first pitch. And then we do not know the timing of the wild card round yet. And I think, especially given all the chaos with the doubleheader, got to imagine it's going to be a night game now to give as much time as possible to those teams coming to Milwaukee. Four games to go. We're at the end of the marathon, finally. Brush it off. Back at it tomorrow at 11:35. It's going to be a fun one as the Brewers wrap up the season series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Catronio. Back tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.